And just be in prayer for Brother Bob and family. I believe they went to see the grandbaby. I'm pretty sure that's where they're at. Okay, we're going to be teaching a lesson on divine healing. I've still got a lot to teach on my love lesson series. I've been on that for some time, and I've got one prepared, but this came on my heart pretty heavy a while back, and I started meditating on divine healing. So I want to give a little lesson on that, just kind of sidestep for a minute. And maybe next time we'll continue our love lesson series. So let's go, Lord, in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for letting us get to be here, Lord, today. Thank you, Lord, for being here with us in the service and the Sunday schools here and also downstairs. And all the other ministers from right around the world, let everything be done in a way to be pleasing to you, I pray. Help Brother Chris bring the message for us here this morning. And just let this lesson be a blessing to the people here, I pray. And we love you and thank you for all your blessings. Be with Brother Bob and family traveling and all those who are still traveling different places, Lord, and all who may still be on the way here. And we love you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So I plan to address a couple different things here. Why do symptoms linger even after we accept our healing and confess it? That's one thing I kind of want to address about divine healing. And then keep a positive confession. I really want to put emphasis on that, the importance of really keeping a positive confession. Because I'm an adamant believer, maybe a little bit on the extreme side. I might even err on the side of caution, we'll say. But confessing no matter what that you're healed and not confessing your symptoms no matter what. Maybe with the exception of going to the doctor. You know, they're the one that diagnosed you. They know your situation. They might ask specific questions and you just answer their questions. But to say, you know, to family and friends, sometimes people are not being nosy. Maybe they just really care about you and they want to ask you, what about your XYZ disease, you know, whatever it is, how you doing? And I'm a 20-year veteran, I guess you could say, of divine healing. It's been since 2005. I'll give my testimony here in a moment. But sometimes over the years, people in my family have known the diagnosis that I was given originally, and they still want to ask me. And I can be right in the middle of symptoms, and I still tell them I'm doing fine, all is well. Really keep a positive confession. They're not trying to stumble you, but nonetheless, you can let down on your confession. So these are my definitions. I want to make a distinction about miracle healing versus divine healing, just for the purpose of this lesson, so we're on the same page here. So miracle healing, something instant. It's a complete healing of a sickness or a condition. That'd be something like in a prayer line where a cancer falls off or blinded eyes are open and it happens right there on the spot. Okay? But divine healing is a process. It takes place over a period of time, believing God and confessing healing before symptoms subside. And that can be weeks, months, or years. You just keep going no matter what. God is sovereign. He decides that if you get it a miracle healing or a divine healing. He knows best. But divine healing is very synonymous with salvation itself. They both start with you believing. Believe in your heart, confess with your mouth, Romans 10, right? That applies to salvation as well as healing. Okay, it's a twofold atonement. And in that word there, thou shalt be saved, in Romans 10:10, I think. It actually, if you look it up in the Greek, it actually means saved and healed. So we're talking about both those things. So you start believing, start confessing, and just keep on going through the whole journey. You never stop, never let down in your confession. So my testimony is going to be interwoven throughout this lesson. I'll just give a brief overview. In 2005, I was diagnosed with something. Not going to say. I don't care to. You fill in the blank for whatever your diagnosis is. That's me and my sister there. I just found a quick picture. That's one that came up from that time period. That was about 2005. I was diagnosed with something, and I came up to the altar for prayer. I had been in the message 3 years, so I had a good foundation to know at least what Brother Branham and all of our ministers and Brother Dale were teaching about the approach to divine healing. I knew, you could say, from a conceptual basis, maybe not by revelation, but I understood conceptually at least the idea to approach God for divine healing is come to the altar if you need to, you know, one time, and that's it, one time only. You don't make repeat trips to the altar. You get weaker in your faith when you do that. So over 20 years, I've only come up here one time for this. As far as I remember, it was 2005, and Brother Dale, I believe, was the one that prayed for me. I took that box of rattlesnakes and I set it down here at the altar and it's still here. It has not moved. Okay, now symptoms persisted after that. I see, taste, feel, smell here tells me the symptoms are still here for a whole 6 months. So 2006 completely left me for many years. 2012, it showed up again. I thought, what in the world? Lord, did I let down on my faith? Where did I mess up? And this is my next lesson that I had to learn on divine healing is that even if symptoms come back, you still keep confessing it, okay? No matter what, no matter how many times, and you don't have to come back to the altar for prayer, just keep on confessing it. That prayer did not expire over all these years, and even after Brother Dale going to be with the Lord, that prayer still stands. It did not expire, okay? So I don't come back to the altar for it. So I had that real kind of real good foundation that I knew we don't make repeat trips to the altar. You just confess it and pray and believe, and then no negative confession. How many times does Brother Dale always tell us, don't stand out there in the parking lot and say, well, doctor said this, and my medicine's not doing good, and blah, 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 blah. No, just tell everybody, I'm doing well. Thank the Lord for healing me. Praise the Lord for healing me. This is my best description of divine healing. The process of divine healing is that you keep confessing your healing no matter what. The worst the devil can do to you is the best thing that can really happen to you. Put you in the presence of God. So it pays to just be resolved that I'm going to confess and believe my healing no matter what. And then if God wills that I pass from this life and go to be with Him, I'll never suffer pain and sickness again. So I have nothing to lose. If you're in Christ, you really don't have anything to lose. Might as well just believe God. And if He delivers you, fine. And if you know, you go by the way of the grave, you know, you're not going to have the cancer again. You're not going to have any of that sickness again, whatever it was. So just keep believing God. Jesus Christ, same yesterday, today, and forever. Brother Bennett said, then which is the healer, the medicine or the life? Life is the healer. And then God is life. Life does the healing. Medicine doesn't build tissue. Medicine doesn't develop cells. Medicine only keeps clean while God develops the cells. Now, Brother Branham believed in medicine and doctors and so forth. God heals through medicine and doctors. But Brother Branham was talking about, I think, was there that people were putting maybe too much emphasis on medicine. God is the healer. He's the only healer, period. We go to God for healing. But we do take the medicine and go to the doctors if, you know, if they can help. But the point is, trust God for the healing. Okay, life is the healer. Two, think about the fact of human anatomy. God made engineering marvel. When He made this body, it is incredible. It's self-healing of so many things. So don't underestimate the power of your own body to heal itself of so many things. The white blood cells that Brother Wade was talking about the other day, you know, they go into action when you've got an infection, a virus, or a cut, puncture, wound, or whatever. Immediately, these mechanisms in your body go into action to start the healing process. But divine healing is when you have something that your body is working against itself or something it can't heal itself of. But suffice it to say, I pray for every sickness that comes in our house, every little infection, cough, cold, flu, whatever. I pray and I lay hands on me and Gabby and the girls all pray together. And we believe in prayer. Even if it's something, you know, you're going to get over anyway, we still pray. But for divine healing, sometimes you need that because your body can't heal itself of certain things. But it's actually an incredible thing that God gave us this body. Even in our fallen condition, it'll heal itself. If you just kind of get out of the way, you know, drink. Sometimes the doctor tell you just drink fluids and rest. You know, let your body do its thing. So this is Brother Bob. Brother Bob's going to minister for us from 100 miles away from where he's at today. He's going to minister for us for a few slides. This is from 2023, September, on a message called We Have a Lamb, Brother Bob. I think this afternoon, maybe if that confuses you a little bit, we take faith and swap it for revelation. We can take revelation, swap it for faith. Faith is a revelation. Revelation is faith. And those two things are really the same thing. So if you've got faith, it's because God has revealed something to you. And what did He reveal to you? He revealed Himself to you. When you need healing, He reveals that He is a healer. And that you've got the thing that you were hoping for, and now you've got it because it's revealed to you. And that becomes a substance. I love the way ministers can break these things down where we can understand. It's a substance because it's a revelation of Jesus Christ personally to you. You see Him when you read the Bible, and it's transformed beyond something that's just your head, something, knowledge, and now it's in your heart, and you know it. Because He's shown it to you. That's what I'm talking about. When I'm preaching about the seven seals, when God reveals it to you, you've got it. If it's something that passes beyond all hopes, you say, Brother Bob, what's the difference between hope and faith? Faith is not something you're just looking for. Faith is when God reveals it to you. You've got the thing you were hoping for because God has revealed it to you. It was many years into my journey where I actually believed divine healing was revealed to me. It was after that second or maybe even third time of symptoms showing up again. Many, many years, like 10 years into this 20-year journey, And that's when actually I was standing in the back of U Haul truck listening to Brother Bram tell about John Ryan. And I'm Ryan John, if you didn't know that. I don't think those things are an accident. His testimony always stood out to me because I'm Ryan John. And growing up, they called me RJ and Ryan John. Jonathan is my middle name. So Blind John Ryan, he kept coming back to the altar, or he came back up the second time, you know, because his eyes didn't open right away. He didn't understand. He thought his eyes were supposed to open right away. But God was going to heal him through divine healing. But it had to happen. I think Brother Ben on that one said, thus saith the Lord. So it couldn't fail. But anyway, we'll get into that testimony near the end, I hope. But his eyes did come open, as y'all know. From expectation, Brother Benham said, notice how marvelous symptoms. And just like in the morning, some of you women here, what if the postal man in the morning, or you say the Railroad Express agent, would come up to your house and say, Miss John Doe, yes, I have something here, was sent to you, and you look at it and you say, well, what is that? And you look into it, and it's a big box, and there's a big box of rattlesnakes. Why you say, I don't want those things. But they're yours. Somebody sent them to you. Why you say, I don't want them. But now, Miss Doe, here's your name on it. Somebody sent them to you. They're yours. And he will do everything he can to make you take them. Now, in one sense, they're yours. In another sense, they're not. They're not yours till you sign for them. But if you refuse to sign for them, he has to take them back to the express agent. He has to send them back to the one that sent them. Don't you sign for nothing. The devil brought, refused to have it. That was me in 2005, coming up here to the altar, putting the rattlesnakes down, never confessing it. Okay? And many of you have done that. I know y'all know Brother Boyd and many other examples of here of people who don't talk about their symptoms, don't sit outside and complain, and, you know, don't have it. No, sir, the devil put that affliction, the devil put that disease there, just refuse to see it. Just say, no, sir, I won't sign. I won't testify for nothing you said. I will testify by his stripes I'm healed, brother, and he'll take it back. So here's a box of rattlesnakes. That was what was given to me in 2005, the old nasty box of rattlesnakes. I know some people like snakes. They're kind of creepy. Anyway, I don't like snakes. Don't care to be around them. I don't like a pet that can kill me. We got cats and dogs. They're nice. Don't sign for it. It's not yours. Period. Now, how do you not sign for the box of rattlesnakes? Bring it to the altar if you need to. Maybe your faith is enough that you don't need to. I just wanted to just right off the bat just bring it to the altar and lay it down. And I'm glad I did. I can always look back to that and say, well, that's where I left it, Satan. But if you don't have to come to the altar. I'm just saying, don't sign for it. Just refuse to have it. Okay? Now, perfect faith, they're kin folks. They love. Love produces faith. Right. And when Satan tempts us, we are to resist him in a perfect faith and perfect word like Jesus did. The word of God is perfect. We're to have perfect faith in this perfect word of God and resist Satan. That's not signing for it. That's refusing to have it. Okay? So now on this box, there will be certain labels. And on the box that was given to me in 2005, there was this label. The doctor said, Ryan, the disease you have is incurable. All we can do is give you different medicines to try to alleviate the symptoms. That was actually 10 years in, 2015, and that was my last doctor visit. Because she was wrong on so many levels. I didn't slap her in the face and kick her in the teeth or anything. I wasn't mean. I didn't put her in a headlock or anything. I just smiled and nodded and didn't go back. That was as simple as that. But inside I was thinking, well, okay, first of all, it's not my disease. So she was wrong to say that. It's the disease you have. And then to say it's incurable, I want to hit that one in the head here in a second. And then the third thing is, and she said, all we can do is try to alleviate the symptoms. I said, well, we're not doing a very good job with that so far. For the last few years I've been going, up until 2015, all the medicines they gave me didn't work. They had higher levels of medicine that I didn't want to try. My sister lives across the railroad tracks. She has no colon. She struggled with this disease, not the one that I was diagnosed with, but something similar to it for all of her life, basically. And finally, in the end, the doctor said, well, why don't we try taking your colon? I was sitting there, after I heard that news, I was like, I didn't know you could live without that. I thought, well, I needed my brain, my colon, and my heart, and my lungs. I was thinking I need to keep all those. So personally, I want to keep all those. I'm an organ donor, so if something happened to me, they can have all my organs. But for me personally, I don't want to give up my organs, and I don't want to take these extreme levels of medication that could put me in the hospital, because she wound up taking a very hardcore medicine of some kind that wound up putting her in the hospital, and we thought we were going to lose her back in 2005, actually. So, you know, you got to use wisdom about, you know, taking what the doctor gives, okay? You just use a lot of prayer and wisdom about that. But Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thy iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. So I read in the scripture that there is no incurable disease. And if the doctor tells you that, you don't have to punch them in the mouth or to kick them in the teeth. You just say, okay, whatever. You know, I believe the Bible. I know another guy. All right? And so this may be the last time we may part ways here, because I know another guy. Okay? So all thy diseases, he can cure all of them. There is no incurable disease. Okay? There's an exception to that. I'll get to that here in a minute. Actually, it's on these couple of slides. These are the ones that I find in the Bible where you find the word incurable. And I put there in green. I know these are small. I don't intend to read all these. I'm just letting you know a few instances where you find incurable. One of them is 2 Chronicles 21. There, you look at there in green. That's why it was put on Jehoram, king of Israel. He was disobedient. Job is a special case because he was put, sicknesses were put on him because of trials. He was being tried for the word of God's sake. You know, and we know the story of Job. He said, should I lie against my right? My wound is incurable without transgression. He knew he was right spiritually. He knew he was in the right place with God. It wasn't anything he'd done wrong. God was letting him be tempted, you know, and tried, and showing the devil that he will not deny him and not curse him. So he knew the faith of Job and how strong it was and that it would stand. So sometimes maybe God lets things come on you and linger, you know, to try you and to test your faith and to make you stronger, you know, because the trying of your faith, you know, builds patience and so forth. The other cases, many times in the Bible you see incurable, it's children of Israel forgot the God of their salvation. It was a rebuke to backslidden Judah. It was a rebuke against the rebellious Israel and to Nineveh even. So many cases, maybe 8 or 9 of them that I found where you find the word incurable. So I would say to that, make sure you're right with God. If something comes on you and it seems to linger, just say, Lord, is there something I need to make right? Am I messing up somewhere? Am I coming short somewhere in my repentance? Is there something I didn't think about? But once you know that you're right and you're walking in God in sanctification and continue on with your journey with the Lord, then just believe God and wait for it to manifest and just keep confessing your healing. So there is no incurable disease. Just remember that. Hereditary, the box of rattlesnakes given to me said hereditary on it. Satan said, look here. It says, Dale Barnett, that's your grandpa. And I said, yeah, Satan, I know he has it. He's had it most of his life. And then he said, look at there, Brooke Barnett, that's your sister. She's got it. I said, yeah, I know Brooke has struggled with it all her life, but it's not mine. I don't know where we're not understanding each other here, Satan. It's not mine. I set it down there at the altar. I don't care if it's hereditary. I don't care if I inherit it through my blood. It's not mine. So you just stand there and say, well, I don't care who all has it. It's not mine. Period. Chronic. Oh, you're going to have this the rest of your life. They said at the start of this, when I was diagnosed, they said, now, this is something you'll die with, but not die of. So good news. It's not going to kill you. And I was like, I'm not going to have it my whole life. Sorry. Either. Okay. Chronic. That's a lie too. So, but he that shall endure to the end, the same should be saved. And again, that's Matthew 24. Again, saved there means in salvation, but also disease to make well, or heal, or restore to health. Romans 10:9. I confess. Quoted this one a while ago. That if thou confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, thou shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead. Thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made to salvation. Again, there as I said, saved means saved and healed. It's talking about both. So keep that same process for both healing and for salvation. Believe in your heart, confess with your mouth. Right. Brother Bannon says, they are Christians. As long as you believe that, all right. But the minute that you begin to think that you're not, that's the time you start sinking right there. That's the time your testimony is negative. Divine healing lasts as long as your faith lasts with it. Your salvation the same, because everything of God is by faith. And nothing of God's can be proven by natural. Perfect faith, Brother Benham says, love and faith has to go together. They're kin folks. They love. Love produces faith. That's where I let down on my testimony when Iva was dying, when she was born. She was 3 days old, and she was fixing to pass away. And my rebuke that God gave me was through 1 John 4. He who feareth is not made perfect in love. Instead of looking at God's promise and trusting him that everything is well with the baby, even if she dies, his point was to me, even if your baby dies, just believe me and confess no matter what, because fear has torment. You know, he who feareth is not made perfect in love. I realized then that my love with God wasn't what it should be at that time, because if I loved God like I should, I would just trust him, have confidence. He's in control. I was in his hands. And if he takes her, it's for a purpose. He knows best. When Satan tempts us, we are to resist him in a perfect faith and perfect word. We already quoted that one. Sorry about that. As I was with Moses, I want to ask you this question. Now, if you believe it, it's an impossibility for you not to be healed. It's totally impossible for you not to be healed if you believe it. That's really strong. That's a quote that if you don't have anything else, you can stand on that quote. I mean, for crying out loud, that's as strong as it gets. Take the foxes, little foxes that spoil the vine, for our vines have tender grapes, that's Song of Solomon 2. Don't let down your confession. You will spoil the vine of divine healing. As I said a while ago, well-meaning family members will ask about your diagnosis. Just tell them all is well. It's what Brother Branham did to his own parents, I think, when he had that stomach problem. Salvation lasts as long as faith lasts, and divine healing lasts as long as faith lasts. Don't let down on your testimony. You don't go by your feelings. I was never saved by my feelings. I wasn't saved because I felt good. I'm saved because I met God's promise. That's it. Devil can beat you around, stamp on feelings, things, thus saith the Lord, and condemn it. I've done what Jesus said. I'm saved tonight because I met God's requirement. I'm healed tonight. Now, here's Brother Bannon's testimony. I think this is the start of it. I thought there was another picture in there leading up to it. I'm healthy and strong tonight because I believe God said so. Look at his word. It's all your faith in God. The only thing that'll stagger, that's the only thing that'll ever heal a sick person, is their personal faith in God. Refuse to see symptoms or anything else. Walk by faith. Just the just shall live by it. Let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth. I want you to think about the phrase refrain and maintain. Refrain from a negative confession at all times. Maintain a positive confession at all times. Okay, those two go hand in hand. Don't stand here in church on Sunday and confess you're healed, and then Monday a coworker's asking how you're doing. Well, you know, I'm not sure about that doctor. He said, just go on, confess you're healed anyway. Say all is well. You're not lying. You're just looking at the promise of God, and they're meaning well, but you just smile and say, I'm good. I'm doing good. How you doing? Doing great. Corrupted communication. I'm not going to go into that, but that's just a more elaboration on that scripture. Testimony, Brother Branham. Now here's our prophet's own testimony. As some of you know, he had a stomach problem. You remember when I had a stomach trouble, regurgitation, and what Mayor Brothers told me, that not even one earthly chance, not one chance in 10 million to live, and my stomach was nothing but just one raw, bloody ulcer. Wow. And then here's his confession. He got tired of living on a liquid diet, basically. Barley water, I think, and something else. And he was tired of it. He said, well, if eating food kills me, I'm just going to eat food and die. You know, I'm to that point. I'm just tired of living like this. So he ate some against the doctor's word. The doctor said, if you eat one bite of food, it'll kill you. So he said, it tasted good. And when I swallowed it, as soon as I swallowed it, it was just like a lump of fire heating my stomach. And here it come back up. I held my hand over my mouth. I said, uh-oh, you're going to stay right there. I swallowed it back and come up again. I swallowed it back, come up again. I swallowed it back. I said, now you stay there, because here's another one coming. He just kept eating food, swallowing it down. It hurt. It was coming back up. It was an awful experience. I'm going to tell you, I've sat in some of the most horrible symptoms over the last 20 years. At times, by the way, for the record, in 20 years, 90% of the time or better, not experienced any symptoms at all. But the few times it's come back up, I've sat in some horrible symptoms, not told anybody here, and just sat there and said, God, thank you for healing me. And it feels kind of weird to say that when you're miserable, absolutely miserable. And then sit there and say, thank you, Lord, for healing me. And then the devil lingers right there for weeks, months, and maybe even a year or more, you know. And Pop said, this is his dad, I guess he's talking about, how you feeling? I said, wonderful. Kept on chewing. He wasn't lying. He was just confessing the promise of God. Swallow it again. Here it come. I hold my hand over and say, excuse me. I was belching. It was ugly. And then beans coming up. So I just kept on eating like that. And I left the table. Mom called the doctor. She said, why? He ate beans and cornbread. He's been reading the Bible. He said that God healed him. The doctor didn't like that at all. So he said, well, I'll be in here pumping his stomach, you know. Anyway, but he was healed. Testimony of Iva. Just one little brief comment about that. In 2014, when she was dying, the doctor said she was dying. The doctor at Northeast Georgia said, your baby's vital organs are fixing to start shutting down. We need to send her to Eggleston. And on the way down, she almost died twice. The medical personnel working on her, the paramedic, said, "I almost lost your baby two times on the way down here. They passed us with lights and sirens in the ambulance. We were ahead of the ambulance, and they passed us emergency style, you know." And then the doctor down there, first thing she said to us, "Hi, I'm Heidi Carpin. Your baby's dying." And I stood up here a few hours later, right in that spot, and told y'all, I was playing the drums, you know, and I stood up and I testified and I said, "I was doing fine. Just keep praying for her." Did I tell anybody she was dying? Nobody here knew it. And weeks later, we still didn't have her baby. They're like, somebody said to us, "You had a baby, right?" Because she was still in the hospital, you know. It took her a long time to come out of that. But we wouldn't confess it. We didn't even use the D word between me and Gabby. We wouldn't say she was dying. We wouldn't confess that. We were told three times. And we said, "No. Just pray for her." And that's all we said. Almost 11 years later, now she's downstairs in Sunday school. Perfect faith. No matter what the thing looks like, no matter what anybody else says, you know what's happened. You know that it's finished. Love and faith has to go together. See, that was my main lesson to learn in that trial, was trust and love God no matter what. If you really love him like you should, you'll trust him that all circumstances are in his hand. Everything that happens to you is in his hands. He's completely in control. If something bad happens, it's for your good. Trust him anyway. A few musicians, y'all can go and make your way up, please. And then Brother Branham's testimony about John Ryan, as I started to quote from that a while ago. There was a woman a few minutes, got a goiter hanging on her throat. And while we was praying for her, went away. Here come John Ryan back, pushing through all the ushers. It was after he already come up one time for prayer. Coming back again, and man was helping him in the prayer line. And I said, "I want to see that preacher." So they brought him up there, and he said to me, "You told me I was healed." I said, "You are." He said, "Well, if I was healed, I could see." He said, "Oh, no, that has nothing to do with it." And he said, "You told me you believed." He said, "Well, you said I was healed. You said you believed. I do believe you. Then what are you doubting about?" "Well, if I was healed, couldn't I see?" Obviously, a man, I think he had a Catholic background. He didn't understand that. If I'm healed, shouldn't I be able to see now, you know? And he said, "Well, you will see. God showed me a vision that you were seeing. It has to happen." I was a Catholic. Never been taught anything like that. "But I don't understand. What should I do?" And he said, "Well, the only thing you can do is go down the road." I got cut off, but he just went on to say, "Confess it," basically. So the point was, keep confessing your healing no matter what. John Ryan's eyes did come open, as y'all know the testimony. He went on testifying in church and selling newspapers, I think, saying, "Extra, extra, read all about it. Thank the Lord for healing me." His eyes were still closed, naturally speaking, at that time. He could see, taste, feel, smell, hear those symptoms, but his eyes did come open. And that barber chair, and barber went chasing him down the road. So point is, just maintain a positive confession. That's my main point. Just keep a positive confession and believe God no matter what. God bless you. Thank you.